from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, pre-primary campaign filings are in on the Secretary of State's website, so we'll take a look at the GOP Republican primary for South Dakota governor race, the latest from a uranium mining hearing, and even more. It's Wednesday, May 20th. Here are today's stories. The Republican candidate atop the governor's race polls spent more money for this primary election than both GOP candidates combined in 2018. That's the last time the Republican primary for South Dakota's top seat in Pierre was this hotly contested. In 2018, a race that pitted Kristi Noem and Marty Jackley against one another, both candidates combined spent $3.25 million ahead of the primary. That's based on pre-primary filings on the Secretary of State's website. This primary race, U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson alone has spent more than both those candidates combined. So far, his campaign has spent nearly $3.8 million. He still has close to $1 million remaining in a state campaign account to spend. The majority of those funds, $3 million, came from a transfer from Johnson's federal PAC. That's according to pre-primary filings on the Secretary of State's website. Federal PACs allow candidates to circumvent South Dakota's contribution limit laws. A state political action committee called Dusty PAC also has over $1 million cash on hand. Meanwhile, Johnson's opponents have spent big as well. Aberdeen businessman Toby Doden has spent $1.8 million so far. The majority of Doden's funds, over $4 million, have been loans from himself. He has over $200,000 to spend. Incumbent Governor Larry Roden's campaign has spent a little over $900,000 while bringing in over $500,000. Over $150,000 of that came from a hybrid federal PAC. State Speaker of the House John Hansen has spent a tick under $250,000. He's brought in over $350,000. Both Hansen and Roden have a little over $160,000 remaining to spend. Remaining funds are typically used for the last push for candidates to encourage their voting base to hit the polls. South Dakota's primary election is June 2nd. There, a candidate for governor needs to get at least 35% of the primary votes to avoid a runoff. A South Dakota Newswatch poll from last month showed Johnson was just shy of that threshold. Democratic candidate Dan Allers does not have a primary opponent. His campaign filing shows he has about $60,000 on hand. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A newly passed law that mandates expanded interpretive services at public hearings is getting an early test at a uranium mining hearing. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
House Bill 1219, passed in the last legislative session, is a bipartisan bill which expanded these services but came without an emergency clause. That means it doesn't take effect until July 1st. Previously, such services were only available for civil or criminal cases. Issues like the mining permitting debate seen in Hot Springs did not fall under these classifications. While House prime sponsor Sioux Falls Democrat Eric Mucky says leaving the emergency clause out was intentional, cases like Hot Springs prove its value.
Let's let the law stand on its own, but also given the timing, it has created some challenges when it comes to the administration actually playing this out, because as we speak today, the conditions technically haven't changed since they have last fall, but that will change. It's an interesting case for a state to say, can we work in good faith with tribal members across the state and give them a real voice in this process, especially given that is largely being contested on the grounds of environmental and cultural concerns.
The bill expands on interpretive services provided by the state broadly. That could be a Lakota speaker in the Black Hills, a hearing or visually impaired resident in Mitchell, or an Arabic speaker in Sioux Falls, who are now entitled to these interpretive services. Despite a hangup this week, which threatened to halt the hearings in Hot Springs, state DANR Mineral Mining Program Administrator Mike Lees said at Tuesday's hearing, interpreters are now in place for all further meetings. Those interpreters are Alex White Plume and Leola Onefeather. White Plume had previously come at the recommendation of an interested party, and Onefeather was in attendance as a fluent Lakota speaker viewing as a citizen, but not an intervening party in the stake of the mine. That second point highlights the complications for a case such as what's being seen in Hot Springs, as widely publicized and controversial cases could create challenges for finding third-party interpreters without ties to the cases. The hearings in Hot Springs will continue throughout this week. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
The leader of a mailing service says voters they service are having voter statuses changed. That's despite the Secretary of State's office saying a law on the issue wouldn't be applied retroactively. In 2025, the legislature passed a law that targeted voters who live out of state or in mobile homes. The law made it so people who register to vote through a commercial mail forwarding service receive a federal-only absentee ballot. That law was not to be applied retroactively, according to the Secretary of State's office at the time. Amber Hobart brought the issue to the Minnehaha County Commission. She's the president of Dakota Post, a mail forwarding service. She says many of her customers have been switched over to federal-only voters.
So that is a bit of a concern to us. Many of them were already previously registered to vote when this 2025 law change happened, which was not supposed to be being applied retroactively. However, that is what we are seeing, that it is absolutely being applied retroactively.
State law says to be a permanent resident, a person must stay in the state for 30 consecutive days. Hobart claims some customers who have met that requirement only received a federal-only ballot, not the full ballot. Minnehaha County Auditor Leah Anderson did not immediately respond to SDPB's request for comment. A South Dakota man convicted in a Todd County homicide is sentenced to 30 years in prison. 38-year-old Frank White Thunder was previously found guilty of second-degree murder. The U.S. Attorney's Office, District of South Dakota, says White Thunder fatally stabbed Andrew Two Eagle at a residence near Mission in October of 2024. U.S. Attorney Ron Parsons called the crime a, quote, senseless, intentional killing. Two other suspects pleaded guilty to accessory and assault charges. Over $9 million is now available to South Dakota communities to address forever chemicals. The funds are made available by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. It's part of a larger EPA initiative to provide funds for emerging contaminants in small or disadvantaged communities. The dollars are used to address PFAS. PFAS are widely used, long-lasting chemicals that break down very slowly over time. They're linked to harmful health effects in humans and are often called forever chemicals. The EPA grants in South Dakota are available to communities, drinking water systems, and private well owners. Specifically, the money is used to help with testing, planning, and infrastructure addressing PFAS and other emerging contaminants. Several South Dakota airports are receiving federal funds to upgrade restrooms and other facilities. The Sioux Falls Airport is set to receive $5 million. Rapid City is getting $1 million, while the Belle Fourche Airport is getting $540,000. Each of these airports are undergoing larger renovation or expansion projects. Federal officials say this latest round of funding is going toward modernizing restroom and mother's room facilities. The FAA dollars are part of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Transportation officials say it's part of an effort to make travel more family-friendly. Gas prices in South Dakota are continuing to creep upward. The latest report from Gas Buddy shows the state's average cost for a gallon of gas is $4.30. That's up a dime from last week, up 67 cents from last month, and $1.35 higher than this time last year. However, nationally, prices leveled off over the past week. Analysts say that's due to hopes in diplomatic progress between the U.S. and Iran, but they expect prices to continue to remain volatile, noting that increased demand over Memorial Day weekend could send prices higher. This year's State History Conference is coming to Fort Pierre between June 1st and 3rd. In conjunction with the nation's 250th anniversary, the theme for this event is Grit and Glory. Topics will include the Declaration of Independence and South Dakota's place in the nation's founding. Registration is limited and is available online at the State Historical Society Foundation website. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.